We're holding on Iron Hay on the bay's fourth line. We're up to the next group in our mission. We've gone through the various cases of Carbonus being mixed up with other animals. And now we get to the last group in our mission where you had Carbonus that were mixed up with other Carbonus, that is, that were mixed up with a Bechor or with Mice. Where then we said that unlike when you have Kodshim mixed up with Kodshim, then fine, okay, you don't know, that, and they're different minions, then fine, you wait and you leave them to graze so they develop a womb, and then you sell them and use the money to buy other animals, or Rashi had said over there, maybe you don't even need to sell them, you just exchange them for money, whatever it is. With a Bechor and Mice, you can't do that. With a Bechor and Mice, you're not allowed to be Koder or sell. So therefore, what do? Therefore, so we said, So therefore, what we said is you leave the animals to graze till they develop a womb, and then instead of being poor to them, you eat them as if they, you eat them all as if they were Bechor or as if they were Meiser. If it was a Bechor mixed in among them, it means that Koyin must eat all of them. If it was Meiser, then it means, because that's what happens with a Bechor even about a womb. And if it was Meiser, that means that's mixed with other Carbonus. With other Carbonus, yes. So we leave them all to graze till they develop a womb, and then Koyin, and then we'll have to give them all to Koyin and eat. Didn't lock the door there, did it? Okay. And then as far as Meister, then anybody can eat Meister, so same idea. If Meister has a womb, then same idea. You don't bring it as a carbon, obviously, but anybody can do it. Okay. So now we're going to talk about a topic involving Bechor, and involving Meister, we're going to bring in our Mishnah as a proof. So that's why we have this next studio. We're going to be dealing with a din where we're going to be bringing our Mishnah as a proof. Often we'll do that. Often the Gemara will bring in a sugya that really belongs someplace else. In this case, this sugya is in Masechta of Bechoris, which is the main place where it belongs. But we're mentioning it over here because our Mishnah is brought in. That's a very common thing in fact. So, Nisagu Bechor of a Meister. Fuller, we said in our Mishnah that if other Karbonis get mixed up with a Bechor or with a Meister, the Meister Behemah, so, Amr Domi Bachama, now like this. We know that a Bechor that develops a Mum, anybody can eat. Not anybody can eat. You have to give it, you give it to the Koyanim, and the Koyanim and their families can eat it. However, you have a Machloikas Tishamah Gitzilul about it. Namely, we know that if it was a Tomim, and if it was brought to the Karbon, then it would be like any other Karbon, and only people who are Tahor can eat it. What about if it was a Baal Mum, and it was shechted and is being eaten by the Koyanim and their families? Does it also have to be eaten only by Tahorim? Beis Shammai says yes. So the question, therefore, is, Bechor le Beis Shammai, we know, Ein Machil Un Lemidus. Right.
Not other Korbanis.
Well, other Korbanis, there's no such thing. I mean, if it was a Baal Mum, then you're Poydeh, now it doesn't have the Kedusha of a Korban anymore. Now you're Poydeh, and now, for the most part, it becomes Cholin, except for the fact that you have a rule about Gizabah Voideh. You have certain rules about that you're not allowed to use the wool or the hair of it, you're not allowed to do work with it. There's a certain meaning. Because by Bechor, the difference is that you can't be Poydeh. By Bechor, it still has the same Kedusha as if it was a Tumim. The only thing is, as a Tumim, you bring it to the Korban and the Koyanim eat it. And as a Baal Mum, you don't bring it to the Korban, but the Koyanim still eat it. Other than that, the same rules apply, whether it's a Tam or a Baal Mum. So, Beit Shammai says, also that's true as far as the Dinim of Tmeim not eating it. So only members of the Koyanim family who are Tahor. Because that's what the Pasuk is, not the only Bechor, also Meister, because the Pasuk says, because it's Bechor and Meister, because the Pasuk says on them, Lo Yimachar, Lo Yigoyal, Lo Yisifya Kodeshen, etc. Yeah, and that's how it is. Yeah. So therefore, Ein Machil Lemidus. So therefore, the Shammai says, you cannot feed meat of Bechor, Baal Mum, to a Nida. So if the Koyan's wife is a Nida, she can't eat from it, says the Shammai. The question is, what about, Rami Bachama asks, if you were to have a tmura of a Bechor, would the same din apply? Would Beit Shammai say that the same thing, the tmura is like the Bechor itself, and therefore nidos can't eat it? Or maybe not. A tmura of a Bechor is, in general, a tmura of a carbon, for many cases, does have the same din as the original carbon, but not in all cases. In particular, and we learned about this actually earlier in the Masechta, that when it comes to Bechor and also Meister, their tmura is not brought on the carbon. Most carbonists, you make a tmura of them, you make a tmura of an oila or a shlomim or what have you, you bring it as that type of carbon. And then you have a chatas, you can't, so it's one of the five chatas amesis, but the Bechor and Meister, the rule is their tmura is not brought on the carbon. So therefore, Rami Bar Chama is asking, does it therefore have the same status as the Bechor according to the Shammai, therefore that you can't see it? You can't be brought to the carbon, but maybe other than that, maybe other than that, the fact that it's a Shemura, it has a certain degree of the Kedusha of a Bechor because it's a Shemura, maybe therefore the Shammai would say that it has the same din as far as Tmeim, not eating from it. Another question he asked, Bechor any Nikta, we know that a Bechor can't be redeemed, because you can't have, in other words, that if you exchange money for a Bechor, the Bechor doesn't lose its Kedusha and have the Kedusha go on the money. So the question is, Tmura said Mahu. What about if you have a Tmura of a Bechor, would you be able to be Purim? Now, Tosfos talks about what exactly are we thinking, what exactly are we thinking would happen if you were Purim? You can't say that it means that it should completely lose its Kedusha and you should be allowed to shear it and do work with it. It should be like any Tzulam of Kedusha, and you can't. So therefore, Rami Bar Chama should have no reason to ask about it. Is it...
Are you talking about the initial one?
No, we're talking about the Tmura. The Tmura of the Bechor, which Rami Bar Chama is asking, if you were to be Purim, what would be the din? So Tosfos is asking, and let's say you would be Purim, what would happen exactly? It wouldn't completely lose its Kedusha. Like any Tzulam or Kedusha, the rule would still be that you can't shear it or do work with it. So obviously we can't be asking as far as that, because either way, with or without Kedusha, that din still applies. As far as if you're asking about the question of giving it to the Kohen, you wouldn't need to either way. Even if you weren't Kohen, the Tmura of a Bechor does not have to be given to the Kohen. Again, unlike the Bechor itself, the owners themselves can eat it. Are you talking about that there are rules about how you can eat it, how you can prepare the meat? No, because it's not Matnas Kohona. Tosfos goes through a number of possibilities and says, basically the question would be, you're right, ultimately, after the pidyon, the animal would have much the same status as it did before. So the question isn't really so much about the animal. The question is really more about the money that you might use for pidyon. If you were to be poyed, the tmura of a bechor, would the money gain any kedusha or not? Because if you were to be poyed of a bechor itself, nothing happens to the money because the bechor can't be nifted. The pasuk says so. So Rami Bar Chama is asking, what about a tmura of a bechor? The tmura itself is going to have pretty much the same dinim before and after the pidyon. But will the money have any difference? Will the money have any difference? In some ways, it's like the Bechor, but we know that in some ways it's not. Because, such as again, the fact that if it's a Talmim, it's not brought to the Korban. Such as the fact that if it's a Baal Mum, you don't have to give it to the Koyanim. You yourself can eat it. And, Rami Bar Chama's first question, whether according to Beshama, you can give meat of a Tmura, of a Bechor, to a Talmim. And a third question, yeah. We know that Bechor ain't a Nishko Belitra. We know that the meat of a Bechor cannot be weighed out using weights like you would normally weigh meat. We talked about this the other day in connection with the Mishnah. That Bechor and Meiser are different than most other Korbanos, even when they're still a Mokdashin, even when they're not being brought as a Korban. Yes. You can have the Kohen and his family can eat them and you can sell them to other Kohenim, et cetera, in the case of the Bechor, but you still can't weigh them and sell them in the way that meat, that regular meat is weighed and sold. So in other words, the normal meat, you sell in a butcher shop, you know, somebody comes in and says, I want a pound of meat, so you have, you know, or you use a litra, which is a weight, you put a litra weight in one side of the scale, you put a piece of meat on the other, and you weigh it and give it to the customer. With a Bechor, you can't do that. You have to get, you can sell the meat, but you can't sell it in the ordinary way that you would in butcher shop. In Bechor, we'll learn about this, Hashem, when we get to it in a year's time or so. We'll get to it. Only Kohenim can eat from the Bechor. So we're talking about a Kohen selling it, we're talking about the owner selling it to Kohenim, or the Kohen himself who received it selling it to other Kohenim, whatever. The point is, there are restrictions on how it can be sold. So the question is, again, Tmurasa Mahu, Tmurasa Mahu. So again, the question is, what about the Tmura of it? Does it have the same din? Does it have the same din or not? Omar Rava, so Rava says, Tanya, I can answer you based on a Braisa that says, Bechor Meister Mishahumu, Bechor Meister after they develop a Mum, Oisin Tmura, they are still able to create a Tmura. You can still have that if you exchange them for another animal, then that animal is considered a Tmura. even though at this point, even at this point, that kodeshim is there anymore, but nevertheless, it's still able to create a tmura. And the Braita says, "Tmuras and kayyotz behen," and their tmura is like them. There's two different ways of understanding actually what this phrase "tmuras and kayyotz behen" means. Does it mean that the tmura has all the dinim of the original bechor, or only when the bechor is a tam? Or does it mean even after the bechor is a baal mum, if you made a tmura, then the tmura would still have the same meaning? Well, it said that after that oisim tmura, but tmuras and kayyotz behen could be referring back. The word tmuras and kayyotz behen could be referring back to the case where, in general, that a bechor, when it's tam, is able to create a tmura, not necessarily a tmura son, meaning of the bechor and of the maaser.
Yeah.
So, doesn't necessarily mean, therefore, does it mean a tmura of the bechor when it was still a tam? Or does it mean even a tmura of a bechor after it developed a mum? Okay. Anyway, the point is that you have your answer. Therefore, tmura of a bechor has, for most purposes, the same dinim as a bechor. Tmura of kayyotz behen. It does answer the question. Therefore, so according to Beit Shammai, yes, you wouldn't be allowed to give it to tmeim. The tmura wouldn't be able to be nitsa, and the tmura also wouldn't be able to be weighed with a litra.
And the
Tzilla would say that you can give the meat to Tzmeim anyway, because they say it's Tzilla and Mokyoshin, and the Torah tells you that Tzilla and Mokyoshin, that Tzmeim are allowed to eat. Okay.
How would you know that it applies to
Tzmeim? Because as long as we don't have a process to the contrary, so we'll learn. And when we get to in Bechor, we'll learn where Beit Shammai gets it from.
For Beit Tzilla,
okay. The Tzilla tells us in general that Tzilla and Mokyoshin Beit Shammai would say that does not apply to a bechor. Beit Hillel would say it applies to katzvi v'chayil, means just like a deer or just like a gazelle that anybody can eat, a tomei or a tahor. Beit Hillel would say the same. Everybody agrees that applies to most tzuvah makdashim. Beit Shammai would say that it does not apply to a bechor. So when we get to Bechoris, we'll talk about where we know it from. Beit Shammai has a pasuk of their own. The Tzilla Darshan that pasuk differently. We're not going to get into it right now, but we'll see about it when we get to Masechta Bechoris in a year's time. All right. Okay. Now another question. Boy, Rami Bachama. So far we have an answer to Rami Bachama's question. Fine. Next. Boy, Rami Bachama. Now, what happens if you take a bechor after it develops a mum, at which point, again, it's not kodshim is be'ach anymore, because it's not going to be brought to the korban, and you designated it for bedek habayis, which would mean, normally, therefore, that you take the value of it, and you after it's shechted and sold, then you take the money, and the money goes to bedek habayis. The question would be, mal sheyishto b'litra. Would you be allowed to weigh that meat of this bechor, baal mum, would you be allowed to weigh it the way that meat is normally weighed with a litra?
This means
he made it grabbed onto, literally. In other words, he said that the koyan we're talking about, Rashi says, that the koyan who received this bechor baal mum, where now at this point it's his property and he can shecht it and eat it, he donated it to Bedek Abayis. So now the question is, are we allowed to now, does it have the status of as far as that we should be able to weigh it with a litra? Now the point is like this: why is it most tzuvah makdashin we're allowed to weigh with a litra and we're allowed to sell them in the butcher shop? The reason is because most tzuvah makdashin they don't belong to you; they belong to Hekdesh. The money that's gotten from selling them is going to go to Hekdesh. Therefore, go ahead, weigh it out normally, sell it normally. That way, more people will be likely to buy it. That way, you have more potential customers, and that way, you'll get a higher price for it. And good. That way, Hekdesh will get more money out of it.
That's
the point to everybody. But when it comes, the question is, when it comes to a bechor, never mind Bedek Habayis. When it comes to a bechor baal mum, we know that's not the case. The reason is because the bechor baal mum belongs to the koyan; it's completely his property, and therefore, any money that's received as the proceeds of selling it is going to go to the koyan. we're not going to allow, we're not going to allow you to sell the meat of this bechor, which was originally kodesh, which has a certain residual kedusha. We're not going to allow you to sell it in a normal way so that it will fetch a higher price just so that the kohen can line his pockets with it. It's one thing in order to have more money for hekdesh, that yes, but for the kohen to gain more money, if it's that not.
The kohen wants to sell it, cannot.
You're not listening. The kohen can sell it. He can't sell it in the normal way that meat is sold. He has to sell it. There's rules in Bechorus over there. He can estimate the amount of meat and sell it. He can weigh one piece against another. He can whatever. But he can't sell it the normal way that you would sell it in butcher shop. Why? Because the normal way of selling it is, why would you do it that way? In order to get a higher price. Because that way there'll be more potential customers. More demand, higher prices. Economics 101. But with Bechor, we're not allowing it because the extra money that he's going to get from selling it in that way isn't going to Hekdesh, it's going to him. So now, Rami Bachama's question is, this Bechor, because he was Makbisit Lebedek Abayis, now the value of it after it's sold is going to Hekdesh. Maybe in that case, we should allow you to weigh it with a litra and sell it like meat is normally sold in order that it'll fetch a higher price and that way Hekdesh will have more money. Or maybe. Right, because then you have fewer customers are going to be willing to buy meat when they only are going to get it by estimate or whatever, yeah. Or when you have to sell it privately out of your house as opposed to in the store, right. So that's the question. The question basically is, Zavcha de Hektish Adif, what's more important, the extra money that Hektish stands to make on the deal, Ajumma Zilus to the Bechor Adif, or maybe the more critical issue is the fact you're not allowed to be mezalzer, you're not allowed to treat a bechor like any other meat, and maybe therefore that rule applies even if it's hekdesh medik habayis. Tosfos points out over here this whole question of whether you can weigh the meat of a bechor with a litra, is that d'oraisa or is that d'rabanan? So if you say that it's d'rabanan, then our gemara works out very easily because then we can ask, did d'rabanan make the gzera in this case? Tosfos brings though, and that is in fact how Rashi looks. That's the Rabbanim, the whole concept of weighing over litra. So fine, we can say that the Rabbanim usually make that rule when it comes to a normal bechor, but Rami Bachama is asking, do they make the same rule when it comes to a bechor that was nikbas levedek habayis? Tosfos themselves says that no, actually, we have other gemaras that seem to imply that the concept of not weighing it with a litra is actually d'oraisa.
Where
did you get that from? You get it from various Gemaras, from a Gemara in Sanhedrin and another one in Shmura. So that makes it a little harder to understand our Gemara over here, because then what are you asking? So actually some of the Mephoshim say that's exactly still the question. Is fine. One way of looking at it then is some of the Mephoshim explain that we could say like this. It's true. It is d'oraisa, as Tosfos would say. However, there's things d'oraisa that it says more explicitly in the pasuk, and then there's things d'oraisa that are not so explicit that we derive them from something that it says in the pasuk, as Tosfos brings over here the drasha. So the argument maybe therefore is that in this case, maybe the fact that Hekdesh stands to get more money out of it is reason to override the drasha, is reason enough to override that less explicit din d'oraisa in a case like this. Okay. So that's the question. Amar Rav Yosi bar Zvida, Toshma. Come, I'll prove from our Mishnah. That's why we're bringing in the Sugya, because it mentions our Mishnah. So we said in our Mishnah that if you have other karbanas that are mixed up with a bechor or with a meiser, yiru ad shiyastavu, we leave them to graze, or we leave all of them to graze till they develop a mum, via offal kabchor or kameiser, and then they can be eaten like the way a bechor is eaten by karinim, or like the way meiser is eaten by anybody. Now, when we say kabchor or kameiser, lav lemenra da'in initial belitra, presumably that means that they have to be eaten according to the rules of Bechor, or according to the rules of Meiser, including the rule about Bechor of not weighing the meat for the litra. Now, what are we talking about over here? So now over here, you have other korbanos are involved over here, where again, they belong to Hekdesh, and the money that's going to be gotten from selling their meat is also going to go to Hekdesh. And yet we seem to be saying in our Mishnah that you can't do that. That you said because there's a Bechor mixed in among them, you can't weigh it with a litra. So that would answer the question. By the same logic, when the Bechor belongs to Bedek Abayis, same thing. You still wouldn't be able to weigh it with a litter, even though a hechter stands to gain from it, because the zilusa, the fact that you'd be treating the bechur more casually, you're still not allowed to do.
Even when it belongs to the Berek Abad.
That's what we're saying. Yeah, that's what we're trying to bring our Mishnah as a proof to that. Even though, again, the money that you get from selling this oil or shlomim or what have you would go to, actually, it wouldn't go to Berek Abad, so it would go to buy another korban. But whatever, the point is, it would go somehow or other to the Beis. No, it's not. It wouldn't be Kodesh Beis HaKadosh. Actually, it would be Kodesh Mizbeach. It would be Kodesh Mizbeach. It would actually go for a carbon on the Mizbeach. But that's not the point. The main point is, in other words, it would be going somehow to something done in the Beis Mikdash, unlike the regular case of Bechor not involving Beis HaKadosh, which would just involve the Kohen and the Prophet. And yet we're saying in our Mishnah you can't do that because you have a Bechor involved. So therefore, if you have a Bechor involved that also has Beis HaKadosh involved, same thing. However, this isn't the same Rav Huna that you usually have in Shas, this is a different one. The Talmidim of Rav Yirmiya, they say, me dummy, how do you think you can take? This isn't the regular Rav Huna that we have throughout Shas. I don't know if it says his father's name anyway. I don't know if it says anything about his father's name. Anyway, he was a Talmud of Rav, anyway, but here we're not talking.
His father's name is not the same Rav Huna.
Yeah, you're thinking of Rav Huna bar Nachman, maybe we had him the other day. Okay, that's later. Anyway, this Rav Huna is yet another one. There are a lot of Rav Hunas in Shas. Anyway, so Rav Huna and Rav Chizkiya, the Talmudim of Rav Yirmiya, Amri, they say, me dummy. Yeah, but how are you comparing the two cases of our Mishnah and Rami bar Chama's question? Hossam shteik yoshes shnei gufin. In the case of our Mishnah, it's two different kedushas, because you have, for example, the Ola and you also have the Bechor, two different types of kedusha, but it's also two bodies, it's physically two separate animals. So sure, you're not going to say, therefore, that we're going to allow you to sell the meat of the Bechor, which is somewhere in this mixture and you don't know which one it is, for the sake of gaining more money for a new korban Ola that's going to be brought on the day. Of course, you can't be mezalzel in one korban in order to improve another one. Whereas in Rami Bar Chama's case, true, you have two kedushas, the kedusha of a bechor and the kedusha of Berek HaBayis, but on the other hand, it's only one goof. So you could argue it's only one animal, after all, that has two statuses. So therefore, you could argue maybe the benefit that would accrue to Hechtish overrides the other kedusha on the same animal.
In our Mishnah,
you have two different animals. In our Mishnah, you have two different animals, so you can say, sure, you're not going to say that you're going to be allowed to sell the meat of the animal, which was a bechor, which is somewhere in this mixture, and we don't know which one it is, because in order to gain more money to buy a new oil or shlomim, or what have you, that you can't. You can't be mezalzel in one korban for the sake of another. But here, in Rami Bar Chama's case, it's all one animal. So therefore, maybe you should say it's different. Well, Maskif Lord of Yossi Ba'oven, so Rav Yossi Ba'oven acts back on that. So what he asks on the premise of the question, why is Rami Bar Chama, so Rav Huna and Rav Chizkiya are saying you can't bring a proof from our mission. Rav Yossi Bar Oven is saying, never mind that. What's even the premise of Rami Bar Chama's question? Why is he even asking the question? Ma ilu omar hasuli bechor sheyitzi lebedek habayis. Suppose that somebody took a bechor and, again, donated a korban woman, donated it to Berek HaBayis, and now he says, he goes to the Gizborim, he goes to the treasurers of this Mikdash, and says, I want to redeem this Bechor from Kedushas Berek HaBayis, that it should completely lose its Kedusha, and I should be allowed to shear it, and I should be able to do work with it, and whatever, and the money will go to Hekdash. Kol Mishraim in life. Would we listen to him? The fact is, the Torah says, a Bechor, you can't be Kedusha. So obviously, just
so, it doesn't make any difference.
So therefore, this, by the same logic, so just because there's Berek HaBayis over here doesn't mean that money isn't everything. Money isn't everything. Just because there could be a benefit for Hechtish doesn't mean that you're going to allow this thing. So wait. So Gemara asks, what do you mean? What is Rabbi Yosef Bar Oven asking? The case where you would say to the Gizbar, I want to be poured of this animal and I want it to completely become colon, well, of course, fine, that wouldn't work. Rahmana Amalei Sifta. Fine, the Pasuk says you can't be poured there. So of course, you can't be over on something explicitly that's in the Torah. But here we're talking about the question of weighing it with a litra. Again, one way of looking at it, which is Rashi's way, is the whole thing of weighing it with a litra is only the Rabban. So maybe that's different. The other way of looking at it, which is Tosfos' way, is it is Doraisa, but again, there's a difference between something that it says explicitly in the Torah, B'chor lois difka kodeshim, versus something that we only derive from Sukkim, that you're not allowed to weigh it a little bit. No. This is a B'chor Baal Mum, where, no. What we're saying is that, again, the B'chor Baal Mum, you're saying it belongs to the Kohen. He now was master fit with Berek HaBayis. What we're saying is that Berek HaBayis doesn't need anything with the meat. Ultimately, that meat is going to be sold, and the money is going to go to Berek HaBayis. However, what we're saying is, what we're asking is, can it be weighed with a lister in order to bring up the price? So Rabbi Yosef Ba'oven is saying, the same. Rabbi Yosef Ba'oven is asking, of course, you can't override a din in the Torah in order to gain more money for that fish. So the Gemara answers back. So, well, that's what the Gemara asks back, that on the face of it, to be poida it is violating a din d'oraisa. To weigh it with a lishra, according to Rashi, is only a din d'rabbanan. Or according to Tosfos, it is a din d'oraisa also, but it's not as explicit a din d'oraisa. So maybe there's more reason to override it. So what kind of a challenge is that? We can't accept Rav Yosef Ba'oven's challenge to Rami Bahamas' question. Rami Bahamas still has a good point for the question. Tosfos, by the way, points out that Tosfos disagrees with Rashi on the question what the person wants to happen after he's poured to this animal. Rashi again says that according to Rav Yosef Ba'oven's question, he says, "Hasfuli b'chor she'pisa l'vedek habayis." He means, "I want to be poder and make it completely chulin and be allowed to shear it and be allowed to work with it." Tosfos says, "Why would you even think you could do? Why?" The Torah, never mind. The answer is that the Torah says that you can't be poder. But the question is, in general, sulam of production, you can't do that. Why should we think that this case? Why should we think that this case is any different?
In addition to the fact that in sulam the Torah, why does the Torah have to mention specifically the Bechor when Sulam?
Because usually it's Sulam Ekdoshin, you're allowed to be poyde. That's the thing. Bechor, you're not allowed to be poyde. But
even if it's a Sulam
Ekdoshin. Sulam Ekdoshin, a korban that's developed a mum, usually you're allowed to be poyde. However, after you're poyde, it still has some residual kedusha, you're not allowed to shear it, and you're not allowed to work with it. So Rashi explains Rabbi Yosef Ba'oven's question, Ma ilu omar hasuli b'chor she'pisa l'berek habayis kol m'shoyim loy, that we would not allow him to say that he comes and says, I want to be poided and make it completely cool, and it wouldn't work. Tosfos says, why would we even think you should make it completely cool, and why would we think it would be any different than other Sulam Ekdoshin? The answer is, that's what Tosfos says, because you can be talking about, imagine the b'chor was born with a mum. So maybe you would think, since unlike other psulam ekdoshin, none of the value of it goes to hekdesh at all, because again, it belongs completely to the kohen, unless he donated it to Berek HaBayis, maybe you would think that maybe it should be able to go out to chulin more than other psulam ekdoshin and be allowed to be sheared and worked with. All right, anyway, the point is that we rejected this challenge of Rabbi Yosef Ba'oven, because we're saying, obviously, there must be a difference between redeeming it, which is something that's not allowed in our Torah, versus weighing it with a litra, which may only be something d'rabbanon, or even if it's something d'oraisa, it's not something that's explicitly d'oraisa. Elam Rabami, so no, Rabami says, we'll answer Rami Bahama's question using a different principle. Klum hikne ze elam ashekon uloi. Let's consider. When the Kohen gives this b'chor to Berek HaBayis, he's only able to give over, he's only able to be machne to hekdesh to the extent that he himself owns it. Now, he himself, when he owns it, he doesn't have the right to weigh it with a litra. Therefore, he doesn't have the ability to, transfer to hekdesh the permission to weigh it with a litra, because he himself didn't have such permission. So therefore, says Ramami, the answer obviously must be therefore that no, you cannot weigh it with a litter in that case. The reason is Shitra Mukabeta spells it out. In other words, the point is you want to say you could be able to weigh it with a litter because that way Hekdesh will get more money out of it. But obviously, when he donated it to Hekdesh in the first place, he couldn't have had such a thing in mind because he himself wasn't able to weigh it with a litter. So therefore, so the kedusha of hekdesh only goes on the value that you could get for it sold according to the way that b'chor is supposed to be sold, meaning without the litra. You can't be machdish any more than what you yourself own. That's what Shidim HaKabetz says.
prohibition is under the
Torah,
not on the
Torah. Well, no, because the prohibition, the Shittim Kabetis is your Vital Ashkenazi. So he was one of the early Achronim. He was a chaver of the Arizal, he was actually, well, by origin, he was an Ashkenazi. That's why his last name is Ashkenazi. But he indeed. Well, the Arizal also was by origin an Ashkenazi. The Arizal was known in his times as Rabbi Yitzchak Ashkenazi. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I think the Arizal had one parent, Sephardi, one Ashkenazi. You're right, I think. But anyway, Rabbi Tzal Ashkenazi. That's as far as affiliation to a shape. I don't know if that's as far as affiliation as Sephardi or Ashkenazi. Anyway, not necessarily. Okay, maybe, I don't know. Anyway, Rabbi Tzal Ashkenazi and the Arizal lived in Egypt. Eventually, the Arizal moved out to Israel. I'm not sure if Rabbi Tzal ever did, but whatever. Anyway, yeah. So he wrote notes on the side of the Gemara over here. We collected, say, some of them are collected from manuscripts of Rashi and collections of Tosfos and whatever, and some of them are his own tradition.
The Rosh, when he moved to Spain.
Yeah.
Were his children considered Sephardim?
Why should they be? They grew up in Germany.
The children.
Yeah, so they didn't come there as little kids. They came there already as mature adults.
And their children.
Basic mission. I don't know. All right.
That's a good question. You've got a whole summit now.
Okay, let's go on with it. Okay, let's go on with you. So the answer is that yes, we've answered Romy Bahama's question. No, even a Bechor Bal Mum that was donated to Bet HaKabayis, you're not allowed to weigh with a litra.
But why is it such a big question? Because he said that a Bechor, whether it has a room or doesn't have a room, always now lost.
But we thought that maybe when it's donated to Hechtish, maybe it's different in order to gain more money for Hechtish.
Well,
the answer, if we say it's Dirabbanan, maybe the Dirabbanan could override it. Even if we say it's Daraisa, the fact is we had this discussion. We had to have this discussion, and now we know the answer. You can't prove or disprove it from our Mishnah. You can't disprove it because our Mishnah is talking about two animals, and they were talking about one. You can't knock out the whole question based on Rabbi Yosef Bar Oven's point, because there's obviously a difference between being poida and weighing with a litra, where one is daraisa and one is derabanan, or one is an explicit daraisa and one is a less explicit daraisa. But you can answer it based on the logic. Kum hiknazer l'mashakon uloi, and therefore that's the answer. Kum hiknazer l'mashakon uloi. We just said that the Kohen can't be donating to Hechtish any more than he himself owns, so he doesn't own the right to weigh in the literature. He's not able to give that right to Hechtish. So that's that. Okay. Then the Mishnah had finished off. Hakol Yechorin Leisal. We said in the Mishnah that any kinds of korbanos conceivably could be mixed together, except we said for a chatas and an osham, because a chatas is a female animal and an osham is a male. So the question is, why should a chatas for osham die off of behind the keva? So why is that the only example of korbanos that can't get mixed up? Yes. Chatas v'olam, because one's male, one's female. Chatas v'olam nami. What about the chatas? What about a chatas and an olam could also get mixed together, because a chatas is also always a female animal, and an olam is always a male animal. So the Mishnah should have said that a chatas and an olam can never get mixed up. We just said that chatas and osham, one's female, one's male, but chatas and olam, same thing.
Yeah.
The answer is okay, but it's a third nasi. Fine, but you do have among the chatois, you have the male goat that's brought by a nasi. So therefore, you could have you could have two males, because an ola could be a male, but it can be from cattle or from sheep or from goat. But yes, you could have a goat, but you could have a male goat broader than ola, so it could be confused. Yeah. Okay. Now, there's a line missing in our Gemaras over here, but you can find it, you can see it on the side over here from Son Kodshim, it's also in Shittim Kobetis. The Gemara asks, Osham Nami Ita Thur Nasi. Okay, but in that case, then you say the same thing, that a chatas and an osham could get mixed together, because the chatas, you can talk about the chatas of a king, which is a male animal, and an osham, which is also a male animal, so therefore that can get confused. The answer is no, because they're different kinds of animals, high sayer, high semer. The difference is, though, that the Sawyer Nasi is a goat that has hair, as opposed to an Osham is a ram which has wool. So hair and wool are different. So you can tell the difference that way. And in fact, Tosfos pointed to Tosfos at the beginning of the Menachos that points out it's not only a difference of texture, it's also a difference of color. Sheep and rams, generally speaking, are white. Goats are generally black or dark colored, so therefore you have a visible difference there. Well, sheep aren't always white either, but in general, you have yak of sheep, right? You have yak of sheep over there with the spotted and the speckled and whatever, but in general, most sheep are white, and most goats, and at least of the breed that they have there, are black. Yeah. Okay. Fine. So the question is, Pesach v'Oshem Nam. Yes. Sorry, we're calling it right here. Yeah.
What's
the general word for the general word for the species is A. Sorry, specifically meaning the male goat. Okay. So the question is, Pesach v'Oshem Nami lo ma'ariv. By that logic, then, you could say that a Pesach, that a Korban Pesach and an Oshem also can't get mixed up, because it's true they're both males, but a Pesach has to be an animal within a year old, and an Oshem has to be an animal at least 13 months old, in its second year. That's the most answer, by the way. The answer is, because high ben shana v'high ben shtei shana, because a Pesach has to be within its first year, and an Oshem has to be in its second year, specifically from 13 months old and older. During the 13th month, by the way, it's called a palga. It's neither here nor there. It's not a lamb, but it's not a ram either. You can't bring it to be yoked to either one. Okay. Yeah. Okay. 13 months. Okay. Come on. Okay. So the question. Okay. So the answer is. Fine, but okay, but you know that out of the six kinds of Oshem, not all of them are rams. Two of them, namely the Oshem of a Nazir and the Oshem of a Masoda, are also sheep within a year old. So there you can have it. It could be mixed up with a Pesach. So therefore, the Mishnah can't say generically that a Pesach and an Oshem can't get mixed up, because you could have a Pesach could get mixed up with one of these two types of Oshem. The Ivar is saying, or another answer, the reason why the Mishnah didn't mention a Pesach and an Oshem, because, like you just said, Ika ben Shana from the Mechtik ben Shtei Shonim, sometimes you have an animal that's within a year, but it's more, it grew up faster than normal, it's bigger and whatever, and it looks like it's in its second year. The Ika ben Shtein, the Mechtik ben Shana, and sometimes you have an animal in second year that's still small and looks like it's still less than a year old. So it's not necessarily as easy to tell as you could among different species.
And then the thing is, the third, I'm born before you, but you're older than me.
If you have animals born during Adarish and Adarshani or whatever, okay, fine, yeah, I suppose. But that wouldn't be relevant over here, though, because you still have, given that the animal is not kosher for one whole month in between, from the end of 12 months until the beginning of 13, then you're not really going to have that kind of overlap. But yeah, okay. All right. Mishnah says, Oshem shenis arav v'shlom. So now, in the previous Mishnah, then we just talked about various cases where one type of korban is mixed up with another type of korban. We said min b'she'en in minim. But there we were talking about korbanos where they're different, where the avoida of them is different. For example, if a chatos gets mixed up together with an oila, then what are you going to do as far as the blood? Because the chatos, the blood is put on the mizbeach one way, and the oila is put on a different way. Well, that, but also the Ola Shema Shana Shana Abraham, the Chatos is one on each corner, but yeah.
Yes,
no, well, that's also true. Right, fine. Okay, not a Chatos on it. You're right, not a Chatos on the Ola. But we said, okay, the point is, whatever, the point is, most kinds of korbanos, if they get mixed up, you have to deal with not only the reason why the previous Mishnah had said that you just go and wait till they develop a mum is because you don't really have a way of bringing the mixture, because what are you going to do as far as the avodah of the blood? But now we're going to talk about, what about two korbanos where the avodah is the same? Oshem shenis arav v'shlomim. So suppose an oshem gets mixed up with a shlomim, which is conceivable because an oshem is always a male animal. A shlomim can be male or female. Now, the point is, both a shlomim and an oshem, the blood is put on them as they have the same way, shema on the shena ever. You have differences as far as where they need to be shechted, and you have differences as far as how long they can be eaten and who can eat them. Because, as we learned in Ezra and Makayman, an Oshem is kodshim, it has to be shechted on the north. It can be eaten only by the Kohenim in the Azara, and only a day and a night. Whereas Shlomim, you can shecht anywhere in the Azara, and anybody can eat it anywhere in the city of Yerushalayim for 2 days and one night. But at least the Avodah, if the actual sprinkling of the blood, is the same. Therefore, Reb Shimon Omer, Reb Shimon says, no problem. Shneim yishachtu v'asafin. What you do is you shech both of these korbanos on the north side of the Azara, because fine, that won't hurt anything. If Shlomim, you can shech there just as well. V'yachtu kachamur shebehem. And what you do is you treat them both like the more stringent one. So you have both of them be eaten by the male kohenim in the Azara only during the day and at night. This way, whoever brought the Shlomim will be yoseh, because each one is brought one is broad, having in mind if this one is the Asham, then it's the Asham, and if not, then it's the Shlomim. The Aboida, the sprinkling of the blood, is done the same way either way. So therefore, it says Rav Shimon, do that. And that way, the guy who brought the Shlomim can be Yosef, and you want us to wait until the animals develop a mum and sell them a set. Amrullah, the Chachamim told him that won't work. You cannot bring about a situation where kodshim are more likely to become puzzled. Base of stool means the place of stool. In other words, the status of stool. In other words, what's going to happen over here? You have fewer people can eat it because it's only kohen. Fewer places they can eat it because they can eat it only in the Azara. Shorter amount of time that they can eat it, in particular, that one day and one night instead of one day and instead of 2 days and one night. You're not allowed to limit the amount of time in which a korban can be eaten, because that way you're making it more likely to become noisy.
You're talking about any of the details.
Right.
You cannot limit the
amount of time or the amount of people who can eat it or the places.
Something that was
right. In other words, according to what Rav Shimon is saying, if you brought both of these korbanos on Tuesday, it would come out, therefore, come Chatzos HaLaila on Tuesday, or Alois HaShaka, Chatzos HaLaila that night, or Alois HaShaka Wednesday morning, as the case may be, whatever, then they're both going to become kosher. Whereas one of them should have been kosher the whole rest of the day Wednesday. So the Chachamim would say, you can't do that.
And you bring them both together?
If they're mixed up, right? You're bringing this one. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. That's the case we're talking about. And this kind of thing, Ein Mevi'in Kodshim Beis HaPsul, by the way, has an implication that's negaya for halacha nowadays. Why is it that we don't say Mizmor L'Soda on Erev Pesach and on Erev and throughout Pesach and on Yom Kippur? Because Mizmor L'Soda stands in place of bringing a korban todah. A korban todah involves among what you bring with it are chalei chametz. So therefore, if you were to bring one on Erev Pesach, you're reducing the amount of time it can be eaten, because you can only eat it till the deadline for eating chametz, which is 6 hours into the day, right?
Technically, you can then get it done, but...
But you're not allowed to do that, say the Chachamim. Therefore, they're not allowed to bring a Torah on Erev Pesach. And similarly, we don't... Not on Erev Yom Kippur, for the same reason, because then you're being memayat for time, so you're not... It's more than six. It says 10 of each of four types of chalas, but whatever. It's brought with 40 chalas, 30 of which are masa and 10 of which are hummus. So you're reducing the amount of time that you can eat the hummus one. And if you bring a korban todah on Erev Yom Kippur, you're being mimayit the whole time. You're being mimayit the eating of all of it, because you're not going to be able to eat it. Come Shkia of Yom Kippur. So therefore, that's why we don't say Mizmor L'Soda on those days. For the aim of being korban todah on Erev. Okay. So therefore, the Chachamim say we have to treat it like in the previous Mishnah. You have to wait till the animals develop a mum and sell them, etc. Continues the mission, and it's Av Chaptichas Bechaptichas. What about if you have pieces of meat of Korbanus? So after the Korbanus was shechted, then the pieces get mixed up. Kodshe Kodshim Bechodshim Kalam, and you have pieces of Kodshe Kodshim, like an Oshim, were mixed up with pieces of Kodshim Kalam, like Shlomim. Hanecholim Liyamechab Benecholim Lashne Yamim. Or if it was even among Kodshim Kalam themselves, you have ones that can only be eaten for one day, such as the Todah and the Ram of the Nazir. B'nechol m'shneyom are mixed up with ones that can be eaten for 2 days, such as the Shlomim or B'chor or Ma'aser. There's a Shneyom B'layla. Then you offer Kacham or Shabahem. Then you eat them according to the more stringent one, because the Rabbanon agree with that, because there's no other way to fix up the situation. Rav Shimon would say for sure he has no problem with that, because he doesn't have a problem with Mevi'in Kodshim L'Beis HaPsul, as we're going to see in the Gemara. But even the Chachamim would say in Mevi'in Kodshim L'Beis HaPsul, that's where there's an alternative. Don't bring these as Korbanos in the first place, leave them to grain. But here, with the way pieces of Korbanos, you have no choice, therefore, but let's pray that the Chachamim will say, fine, go ahead and eat them within the shorter deadline. So now we're going to talk about this that Rav Shimon is saying in the Mishnah, that you can go ahead and shech them, and that with the two mixed up korbanos and just follow the more stringent rules, does that mean that Rav Shimon would hold that you think that l'chatchila you can do such a thing? So that's what we're going to discuss. Tani Tana Kamedera. A Tana taught the following braise in front of Rav. Shviyah. When it comes to shmita, now we know that shmita fruit has various restrictions about it. One of them is that when there comes a point with each kind of produce that grew during Shemitah, there comes a point when you have to do beer on it. There comes a point when there's no more of that type of produce growing out in the field, And at that point, you have to get rid of whatever you have left of it in your house. It's actually... Yes, no, what it is like, let's say, for example, grapes. You have grapes that grew during Shemitah. Okay, you have various restrictions about it. You're not allowed to harvest them like you would an ordinary grape. They're hefker forever, but they grew on their own during Shemitah year. You're allowed to eat them. You're not allowed to harvest them in the normal way. They're hefker forever to take or whatever. You're allowed to eat them.
Now,
you pick them off the grape. Right? You're allowed to. You're just not allowed to harvest them the way that you normally would the rest of the other.
You have to eat them on the vine.
No, come on. It just means that you don't go and start harvesting them in the usual way with them. The point is, now, there comes a point, and this actually takes, in the case of grapes, it actually takes place around Pesach of the following year. There comes a point when there are no more grapes left growing anywhere on the vines. All grape, in general, the grape harvest is usually Elul Tishrei time, but you still have some that remain on the vines because people don't, because they're out in the wild or whatever and people don't harvest them. By the time you come Pesach time the following year, there are no more left. So they survive the winter, maybe, but by the time Pesach comes, there's nothing left. So therefore, at that point, beer kicks in for it. Beer is, the Torah tells us only as long as a certain kind of produce is available, l'chaya b'tzad, therefore the wild animals out in the fields, out in the forest, only during that period are you allowed to have it in your house. After it's gone for the highest, then it's also gone for you. So at that point, you have to do beer. It's a machlokas Rishonim, what exactly beer consists of. Most of the Rishonim say that actually all it means is that you eat whatever you can of it, you distribute a certain amount of it to Aniyim and other people and whatever, and then whatever's left after you do all of that, you go declare it Hefker, and then after having declared it Hefker, you're allowed to be Zoyche in it again. Most of the Rishonim understand beer to be that way. You declare it Hefker, but then you can be Zoyche afterwards. The Rambam holds not. The Rambam holds that beer literally means that anything that you didn't eat or give away to the Aniyim or whatever actually has to be destroyed. Well, whatever it is, the halacha is like the other Rishonim. Everybody agrees, though. Well, especially because nowadays Shmita is only the Rabban, according to most opinions. But besides that, it definitely is true that if a certain kind of produce is kept after beer time and no beer was done to it at all of any kind, then it becomes all through tea. When the time comes, and you have to do beer, and then let's say again the grapes taste that time. So once the time of beer comes, based and announces, they put out charts.
So the
Beis
Din will say such and such a date.
Yeah.
No more grapes.
Yeah.
Time for beer.
They usually publish them in advance. They usually publish them in advance because it's known for a given kind of produce about when it disappears. So you're fine. I mean, you can even find, for example, in the yellow Rambam they have downstairs, they have in the back of the Zoyim volume, they have like a chart for several different types of produce.
Right.
And when it comes to Shmita, every 7 years, when it comes to Shmita and Eretz Yisrael, then the Botajinim publish calendars. Same idea. They would announce to the people or whatever. People.
They had it determined as.
I don't know.
It doesn't apply here.
Well, it applies to produce of that of Eretz Yisrael that's brought to Chutzlar, but produce of Shmita of Eretz Yisrael is not really allowed to be exported anyway. So we don't. But no, it doesn't apply to produce that's brought to Chutzlar.
What about jam?
What about it?
You get it in
Kam. If it comes from Shmita fruit. If it comes from Schmitter fruit, you have a problem. You're not allowed to export. First of all, you can't export. I don't think you can export Schmitter fruit. But also, there are rules as far as using Schmitter fruit. There's rules about how exactly you can use it. You can only eat it in the normal way in which it's eaten. So, for example, you can't necessarily make jelly. You can't necessarily make jelly out of it because that's not the normal way of eating. Yeah.
Well, Jaffa oranges, you can eat those. They're probably not sweetness. It's only in
in Raskins or whatever, one would hope that they know better than sell Schmitter food, but yeah.
You're saying about exporting, you were only holding on exporting Schmitter.
Right. Exporting other 60 or other...
Eretz
That's another the Arab field in Eretz Yisrael you're asking about. Are they subject to Shemitah? That's another machlokes that we're showing. And I think the accepted halacha is that it does not apply to them. But okay. Anyway. Fine. So now like this. We know then that there's another din that applies to Shemitah fruit, which is that if you have, let's say, for example, grapes of Shemitah, and you go and exchange them for some other fruit, the din is the grapes still have their original kedusha, and the other fruit, let's say apples, now also has kedusha tree, even though those apples themselves were grown in a previous year, were grown in the sixth year, let's say. If later on then you go and exchange those apples for oranges, let's say, the apples now don't have kedusha tree anymore, the oranges now do. And so forth, it goes between fruits, it goes also if you buy other kinds of foodstuffs with it, meat or cheese or wine or oil or what have you, it always the original fruit, the grapes in this case, has the last one in the chain also has the history. And here's the key thing, at the time of beer for the original fruit, you also have to do beer on the last thing in the chain. So in this example, if you have grapes that you exchange for somebody else's apples from a previous year, and then you took those apples and exchanged it for somebody else's oranges from the previous year, ultimately what would happen is when it comes the time of beer of grapes, which is again Pesach of the following year, you'll have to be mevayer not only the grape, any grapes that you have left, but also these oranges that you had traded for, that you had traded for apples, that you had traded for grapes of Shemitah. So now what we're saying is that the Tana teaches in front of Rav a braita as follows: Shviyas ein loichin b'damei shuma. You are not allowed to take Shemitah fruit and use the money of it to buy truma, because then you're reducing the amount of time in which the truma can be eaten. Because eventually you're going to come the time of beer. So if you're taking Schmitter grapes and you're using them to buy truma of apples, and again, these apples themselves were grown in the sixth year. Otherwise, if they grew in Shemitah, then you don't take Truma from them anyway. Truma and Maaser don't apply during Shemitah. But these are apples that were grown in the sixth year. Ultimately, what's going to happen is when it comes Pesach of the eighth year, you're going to have to be Mavire those apples. And therefore, you can't do that. You can't reduce the amount of time for eating Truma. Now, according to the Rambam, who understands that beer literally means that you have to destroy them, then our Gemara is very easy to understand. If you say, according to most of the Rishonim, that it means you don't literally have to destroy them, then it's true. It's not necessarily that they have to be destroyed, but you still have the issue when you put them out to make them hefker, they can get damaged, they can become tamei, they can whatever. So therefore, you're not allowed to do that. Amru Rabbanan Kamei Rava. So the Rabbanan told over the Chachmei HaYeshiva told over this discussion to Rav, to Rava, there's a Rava or Rava says on the side, and they pointed out. Called the Loikir of Shimon. Apparently, this Braita does not agree with Rav Shimon of our Mishnah. The Ikir of Shimon, Halma, Mavi, and Kachem, Beis Achsul. Rav Shimon has said in our Mishnah that I have no problem taking a shlomim and treating it as if it was an ashab and reducing the amount of time and the number of people who can eat it. So he apparently wouldn't have a problem selling Shemitah fruit using it to buy Shema either. Amalahu, so Rava tells them, no, I feel the tenure of Rav Shimon. No, you could say that the Braita goes according to Rav Shimon as well, because Hani knew the D.E. of him. You could say that b'di'evad, if it's like this, where the Oshem and the Shlomim are already mixed together, and therefore you have no choice, you have no way of telling them apart, then Rav Shimon is saying, rather than make it that you have to wait till they develop a mum and then be coded them, etc., go ahead and be mad with them. But he's not going to say, l'chila, you're allowed to do it. So he would agree, then, with this concept that you can't l'chila take the money of Shemitah grapes and use it to buy, truma apples. So the question is, well, you're telling me then that Rav Shimon would not accept such a thing like Hachila? Ace Rabbaya, but Rabbaya points out to Rabba a contradiction from a Mishnah later on in our Masechta. The Cholon, all Kodshim from which the Kohenim get portions, so you have things like the Chasas and the Oshim where they eat the whole thing, except what's brought on the Mizeach. You have things like the Shlomim where they get a portion of it. Rashoyim Kohenim, the Shanes Bachilotan, the Kohenim are allowed to eat them, they're allowed to vary the way in which they eat them. In other words, they don't have to cook them according, they don't have to cook or roast them any particular way, unlike the carbon paste, of course, which has to be roasted. They're allowed to eat them roasted if they want, or shlukin, which means cooked a lot, stewed, or mavashalin, or regular, or cooked a regular amount. And there's a number of places in Shas where Rashi and Tosfos and other Rishonim talk about, well, it means slow, but it also means longer, yeah. There's various places in Shas where there's discussion what exactly sholuk means versus mavushal, which one means regular cooking and which one means like overcooking. Whatever it is, they're allowed to cook it however they want. The losses for Sochan, Tavle, calling the Tavle Truma, they're also allowed to put into this meat, they're allowed to put in spices of chulin or spices of truma, zigur Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Shimon actually is really supposed to be. So says Rabbi Shimon. Now, if you put in spices of truma, again you have a problem that you're reducing the amount of time that truma can be eaten. Because like this truma could be these spices of truma could have been eaten indefinitely as long as they're still edible, as long as they're still usable. And like this, if you put them into a stew of chassas, then you're only allowed to eat it that day. And the next day it becomes kossel and becomes noser, and you have to burn it. Because that's what happens when a carbon becomes... It shortens the amount of time that you can eat those spices. The spices now are mixed in with the meat. And when the meat becomes nicer, the spices also become nicer.
Spices after the carbon reached its deadline,
exactly that point. If the spices are mixed in with the meat, if the spices are used to flavor the meat, once the meat becomes nicer, the spices are also nicer and have to be burned along with it. You're not going to be able to extract them from the meat. And they've absorbed flavor from the meat. And they're, yeah.
You got the spice on yourself. You cannot say that flavor is
nicer. Yeah, actually you could. That's what we're going to learn later on in the Masechta. But anyway, that's not the point. The point is you're not going to be able to separate the spices from the meat. When you burn the meat,
put them in your food. You gotta eat with your food, you can't take it back out of
so the point is, Rav Shimon seems to have no problem with using spices of truma on kodshim, even though by doing that you're shortening the amount of time that they can be eaten, because eventually there's gonna come a no-so deadline, and then they're gonna have to be burned. Apparently Rav Shimon has no problem with doing that, even the Haskalah. So it's a contradiction. Amalei, so Rabbi answers in Hanachla, tablets, the truma tablum de Rabbanan. Fine, never mind that though. Set aside the whole concept of taking truma from spices. Is only Dirabban. We've talked about previously in Amos, that we talked about a few days ago, we talked about in many other places in Shas, that you have a basic Macholikas Rishonim, what Truma applies to on a Daraisa level. According to Rashi and many other Rishonim, on a Daraisa level, Truma has to be given only from grain, grapes, and olives. Dagan Kiresh Yitzel. According to Rashi, everything else is only Dirabban. According to the Rambam, all fruits are daraisa. And in fact, the Radbaz learns that the Rambam would say that actually spices, that the truma of spices is daraisa, not like our Gemara. So in fact, the Chachamim disagree with Rav Shimon and say you can't use spices of truma precisely for that reason. Because Ein Mevi'in Kodshim Lebeis HaTzol. If it was only Dirabbanan, then fine, you can be makel on it. But if it's daraisa, then you can't. So therefore, it's a no proof from that Rav Shimon would allow you to do it l'chachila when it comes to something daraisa, like shmitah. You could say he allows it by spices, because the whole concept of taking truma from them is only d'rabbanan.
For him.
So Abaya asks. Abaya says, "I have another contradiction to you, Rabba. A Mishnah says in my Shani." Ain loshim truma v'ketef mice. So you're not allowed to buy truma with money of mice sheni. So again, mice sheni, you exchange the mice sheni for money. You take the money to your shalayim. You use that to buy food over there, and you eat it in your shalayim. And you have various rules about it, including that you have to be tohar when you eat it. You have to eat it only in your shalayim. But again, the Mishnah says you can't buy truma with money of Meister, even if you're a Kohen, with Meister my Bachel also, because again, you're reducing the eating of it. Now you can only eat it in your shalayim. Because you've limited it like this, if truma would have been allowed to be eaten anywhere by Kohen, and like this, you're making it can be only in your shalayim. Rashi and Tosfos also point out you have other issues with it as well. You also have a rule that an oinen is not allowed to eat it. whereas truma, an onion is allowed to eat.
An onion
is not allowed to eat my tashane. On the day that his relative died, before he was a yes, the prophet says, by the person says, by Vidri Meister, I didn't eat it when I was an oinin, implying that there's an ister to eat it, that Amam lists that as one of the lavim in the Torah, that Amam says that you have a general, whenever the Torah says that a person, when the Torah says a person has to be able to declare, I didn't do such and such, that implies that it's also to do it. So if the Torah says that the person has to say, like a chalti ba'oinim imenu, that implies that it's an ister daraita. Whereas Turma, there's no such rule. And then Tosfos points out that actually the point is also that with Meister also you're reducing you're limiting the amount the way and the place in which it can be like this as Meister Sheni, it could be eaten by anybody, and if you're buying Truma with it, then you're limiting it only to claim. So the point is you have limitations on both sides. But Rav Shimon Meister, Rav Shimon says it's Mutter, implying that Rav Shimon says it's Mutter even Lachatchila. So apparently Rav Shimon has no problem with Vien Kodshim or Beisap Sol, even the Haskilah. Not like you, Rava, are saying that only an Aram Mishnah when it's B'dievet, because the Ashram and the Shlomim were already mixed up, but he wouldn't allow it, the Haskilah. Therefore, we're back to what we said originally.
What do you do about the limitation of Shimon?
Rav Shimon would say, I don't have a problem with it. Fine, you have to make sure it's eaten according to the rules of Shulman and according to the rules of Isaac Shani, but you're allowed to do that. So Abaya says, based on that, it would seem that we're right in our original assumption that the braisa about buying truma with money of Shavitas cannot be a coincidence of Shimon, because Rav Shimon apparently would allow it, Hakila, as we see from our Mishnah over here, as we see from this Mishnah over here from Maita Sheni, and that braisa implies that you're not allowed to do it with Hakila. Okay. Ishtik, right? So, Rabba was quiet, he couldn't think of an answer. He also a kamed Rav Yosef. When Abaya later on came to Rav Yosef on the way, he says to him, "Amay lo tosve meha? Why didn't you point out a contradiction to Rabba from the following Mishnah, from Mishnah in Shri?" Rashi says that what Rav Yosef is saying is you could have also brought this following Mishnah to contradict what Rabba said. You didn't only have to bring the Mishnah from Maita Sheni. You could have also brought a Mishnah from Shriyas. Rabbi Akiva Eger wants to say that actually maybe what Rabbi Yosef means is he's saying you should have, instead of asking him from the Mishnah in Maita Sheni, you should ask him from the following one, because this following one is also talking about Shavuos and Truma, just like the original issue. Anyway, the Mishnah says, "Ein mevashlin yeret shel Shavuos v'shemen shel Truma." You're not allowed to cook vegetables of Shavuos with oil of Truma. Because again, you have a problem of making kodshim that are going to become possible. Because again, you have the same problem that the oil of truma is eventually you're going to come to the point of beer on the vegetables. Eventually, there's going to come a point when this kind of vegetable has to have beer done to it because you don't have any available out in the fields anymore. And at that point, you're not going to be able to do it. You're going to have to do it. But at that point, you're going to have to put out the oil that's the oil of truma that's with it as well. Rav Shimon Meister, whereas Rav Shimon says it's mutter. So again, there you have that Rav Shimon seems to allow it. So why didn't you bring him from that Mishnah? Amalei Abaya answers, the reason I didn't bring that Mishnah, the lav mi oisvise mahadat tavlin. Why? After all, I already tried to contradict him based on the Mishnah later on the Sechta about using spices of truma on kodshim. But Amalei and Rabba said to me, hanach l'truma tavlin d'rabbanan. And he said, never mind truma of spices, which is only d'rabbanan. You could answer the same thing over here. Vegetables of the truma of vegetables is definitely only derabanan. Even the Rambam holds that all fruit is derabanan. The vegetables is definitely derabanan. So therefore, so I didn't bother mentioning the fish. So it wouldn't be because he would have answered the same way. So I'm asking, yeah, but if that's what it meant. If we're talking about, what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah had said that you're cooking together vegetables of Shavuos with oil of Truma. If that was the issue, then the Mishnah should say the other way around. Then the Mishnah should have said the other way around. Yerek shol Truma v'shemen shol Shavuos. It should have said that you're not allowed to cook vegetables of truma. If you're telling me the whole issue is that truma of vegetables is only derabanan, well, then that's how the Mishnah should have phrased it, that you're talking about vegetables of truma, you're not allowed to cook with oil of Shavuos. Because again, there's going to come the point when the oil needs beer done on it, and then therefore you're going to have to put out the vegetables of Truma, and the answer would be fine, big deal, Rav Shimon doesn't have a problem with it when it's only Drabban. The fact that we're saying over here that you're talking about vegetables of Shviyas in oil of Truma, and Bepashtus, when we say oil, Bepashtus, we mean olive oil, which is definitely Chayiv in Truma Daraisa, so that doesn't work.
So then you would have switched and then...
Rashi learns like this, that what we're saying is, if you're telling me that the reason why Rav Shimon is allowing it is because it's Dirabanan, then the Mishnah should have been phrased the other way around, that you have the vegetables of Truma and the oil of Shviyas. Oil, olive oil is high in Truma Daraisa, so you can't answer that, he only allows it.
Oil can't be determined in example, right?
If the oil is truma, as in the example, as we have the Mishnah in front of us, then you can't answer that it's only Dirabban.
Right.
Because truma of oil, of olive oil, is Daraisa, right. So therefore, so it should have said it the other way around.
So it is kind of a good question.
No, well, the Shittim of Kavetas points out, then what was Abayah thinking? Rabbi Yosef is answering him that if the Mishnah is only talking about something Dirabbanan, then it would have said it the other way around. Abayah knows the wording of the Mishnah. He knows that it says Yerechol. He knows that it says Yerechol Shviyas B'Shem and Shol Shruma. What is he even thinking to say that if I had told that to Rabbi, he would have told me it's only talking about Shruma Dirabbanan? So therefore, the Shittim of Kavetas explains like this. We don't necessarily have to say that the oil we're talking about over here is olive oil. It could mean, for example, it could be sesame oil or walnut oil, which could be Dirabbanan. One second. So that's the thing. So Abaya can assume that the Yerech Shal Shviyas and the Shemen Shal Truma, that the Shemen Shal Truma over here is, for example, sesame oil, which is only Dirabbanan, not olive oil, but the answer is because in that case still the Mishnah should have phrased it more clearly. The Mishnah should have said more clearly that we're talking by, but the Mishnah should have instead presented the case that we're talking about oil of Truma and vegetables of oil of Shviyas. Vegetables of Truma, where vegetables is unequivocal, we know those only Dirabbanan, and if the Mishnah had phrased it that way, then we would understand that fine, Rav Shimon only allows it in things Dirabbanan, but not things Daraisa. Since the Mishnah is phrasing it the way it is, the Mishnah doesn't clarify whether it means olive oil or whether it means sesame oil. Therefore, you have no base. Therefore, Rav Yosef is saying to Abaya, if you had mentioned this Mishnah to Rabba, he would have had no basis for saying that maybe it's talking about sesame oil, which is only Drabbanan. Because if that were the case, the Mishnah would have instead mentioned that the Truma is vegetables to make it clear that we're talking something Drabbanan. Like this, the way the Mishnah is phrased implies that it is ambiguous, and therefore it can imply that Rav Shimon allows it even in things that are nice. So therefore, that's the Rav Yosef's point, that you could have asked Rabba from this Mishnah as well, or instead. We're not done the discussion yet, but Abaya continues, okay, but I already asked him from our own Mishnah over here about the Oshim and the Shlomim. Oisvitim means I tried to contradict Rabba from our Mishnah, because we started over there saying, Amru Rabbanan Kamei de Rabba, we said at the beginning of the Sovia, that the Rabbanan said in front of Rabba, and who are the Rabbanan? And who Abaya is telling me. So I tried to slug him up from our Mishnah, the Matir of Shimon, where Rav Shimon allows you to take a shlomim and bring it as if it were an osham and eat it only in the restricted time. But Amali di'erev, and he said that's different because there it was already mixed up, so therefore that's di'erev. That's the di'erev. Here he's talking about chila. Well, hachanami di'erev. Well, over here also with the oil and the vegetables, we could be talking about the di'erev. Well, then, in that case, then it's b'di'evad. So you can't necessarily prove from this Mishnah that Rav Shimon would accept doing such a thing on Hachila. Okay. So no proof yet, but we'll continue the discussion tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and then continue talking about, well, in that case, then why would the Rabbanon say that if it's already mixed in, then what are the Rabbanon saying? If it's already mixed in, you have no choice. You have to. There's no reason you shouldn't cook them together. So we'll continue with that tomorrow.
What would they say then?
That's what we have to figure out. Okay. So we continue.